Hi, this is Sherry Miller, and you're listening to We Heart Music.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio.
This is Bo with We Heart Music Radio, and this is episode 23. And we have on the line a special guest from, is it New York that you're based out of?
Yeah, I'm in a basement in Astoria, New York right now.
I'm talking with Sam Weisberg. He's from the band Worst Case Ontario. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, we started... It basically all started when I was attending Oberlin College in Ohio, and I lived in this, you know, kind of nasty, like, beetle-infested room. For some reason, there were a lot of beetles that got through this little hole in the window I couldn't see, and they were all, like, hovering around, and that actually became the lyrics for one of our songs. It was about the beetles flying around.
And there's these holes of these Japanese beetles hovering around me. Too lazy to thwart the infestation, too bored to care. Slashing you, I've been fantasizing about it when I saw.
But, like, basically, it was in this room, and I had a four-track, like a really old, you know, 1970s Foftex four-track. It was just kind of a gloomy time. It can be a really dreary place around, you know, around the fall and around the late fall. It's just kind of a gray, flat part of the country. It can be a lot of fun, but it's also kind of dreary. And it was sort of the first set of non-heavy metal semi-serious lyrics that I wrote, and I was just sort of on a storm, and I wrote a whole bunch of lyrics and a whole bunch of songs at home. They all went on the four track, so that was sort of how the band was born, you know. And then there were some friends of mine at school that I've sort of, like, I was more kind of tyrannical back then, and kind of would just point and make everybody play the parts exactly as they were on the four track. And, you know, we had like three guitarists at the time. And then my friend who was a drummer was spending that semester in New York. And then he came out to Oberlin for graduation week, and we trained him in like a week and played one show at a house party. And, you know, it was like, I'd put like a year and a half into that show, and, you know, to have it kind of all be over in one night. And then I had to graduate and go my separate ways. It was pretty devastating. So then I started the band up in New York slowly. You know, it just takes forever when you're out of college and you don't have big open spaces to practice in, and people work and money's tight. I mean, New York is just does not make it easy for bands to practice cheaply. So
yeah, I was going to ask about that. How are you practicing? I mean, I know you have to practice in order to sound as good as you know most band sounds.
When the band's first lineup kind of solidified, and that was back in the spring of 2004, and you know it took a while. It took I got back to New York in 2002, and it took me about a year to find a guitarist, and then about 6 months after that to find a bassist, and then my friend who was a drummer, he was actually supposed to be the bassist. He said, when I graduate, I'll be your bass player, but he had learned drums and we needed a drummer, so he became the drummer. That was the first guy. But that was all in 2004, and we were all in Astoria. We all lived within blocks of each other, basically, or we all lived in Queens, so we would practice at those studios where you just pay by the hour, you know, and they were just these small, crappy rooms with blown-out amps, and we probably did that for about 2 years, and then we found these basement studios in Astoria that you share with bands, and that's actually a really good bargain, because most places, I think, in Manhattan and Brooklyn charge, like, you know, even if you're sharing the room with like seven other people, you got to pay like maybe 100, you know, at least 150 a month, I think, per person. And we found a place that was like 80 per person.
Does it work out like time sharing, I guess? Like you have like a certain hour that you can attend? How does that
work? Yeah, it's so informal because of how flaky musicians are, like especially in New York. I mean, people like, you know, there were definitely some instances where, you know, we'd be double booked, but it was just because of lack of communication. Like we'd show up and we had told the other band that we were showing up and they'd already be in there. Like, oh, sorry, I didn't get your email. You know, and it's just very, very informal. It happens. So you basically just, you tell the people maybe if you're, you know, if you're feeling nice that week, you tell them like a week in advance and then it gets worked out that way. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to use the room more than, I'd say, 2 to 3 days a week because people have different job schedules. And now, like, my band lives all over the city. So for a couple of them, it's a hike, you know, to get out to the studio.
The name Worst Case Ontario. Now, obviously, that's a reference to Worst Case Scenario, but how did you come up with that?
Actually, it doesn't have to do with Worst Case Scenario. It's basically, and we're actually not Canadian, contrary to popular belief. But basically, there's this show that my brother introduced me to a couple of years ago called Trailer Park Boys. At least the first two seasons of it, it's probably the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's like a mockumentary, kind of like the Christopher Guest films, but, you know, a lot more profane. And, cause in, you know, in Canada, they can have shows on the national network that are just laced with profanity. And it's basically just about these two kind of lowlifes that live in a trailer park in Canada. And, you know, they're very lovable characters that they keep like screwing up. They get out of jail at the beginning of every season, and then at the end they go back, and it's usually for a series of like petty crimes. And one of them is always like wasn't educated past the 10th grade, and he's all like constantly like getting phrases wrong. So on one episode, he's talking about a scheme. He's going to steal something from a store, and he's like, you know, worst case Ontario, which just backfires on us, and we'll try to get... So we're just bad, you know, we had this band name that, like, nobody could pronounce or spell right. It was, like, the Finnish word for movie house, Kino Palazzi.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad you changed
that. Cinema, and my friend saw the movie ticket stub that I saved and said, you should call your band Kino Palazzi. But then we just started arguing, like, nobody could spell it or say it right. And then finally after, I mean, it really, that's like the hardest part of being in a band is deciding on the band name. And
oh yeah, definitely. But because you want something that's uniquely yours, but
yeah,
but not too difficult for the people to Google.
Yeah, I mean, you get a really thick skin because you get this great idea and you're carrying it around all day and you're going over logos in your head, and then it's like, what? That's
retarded name. All right. Yeah, yeah.
But we all agreed on that one. We all liked the show enough, or liked the ring of the phrase enough. And,
what's the show name again? I'm gonna check it out later.
Trailer Park Boys. It's on the CBC, or it was actually. It was actually briefly on the BBC, but usually at about 3 a.m. They had made a movie of it that was released here about a year after it was released in Canada, but it really didn't do well. I think if you haven't seen the show, the movie would be completely, like...
Yeah, you probably won't get it.
Yeah, but it's you can rent them, I'm sure you can get them on Netflix, and okay. I think the show just ended after 7 seasons, which, for me, I'm like amazed they made it to three.
Tell me about the recording process for your album. What's it called, and when did you guys release it?
It's called Burning Politely. We got that name from, I was in an airport in Japan. This was like 6 years ago. I took a trip to Thailand right after I graduated, and there was like a layover in an airport in Japan, and one of the there was like a gift shop. And they were selling this cake in the gift shop, and it had kind of like a bad English translation on the cake.
Oh, they're infamous for that.
Yeah, it's been on websites, but it said, this cake burning politely one by one was the first sentence, and I just thought that was awesome, and I always wanted to use it on an album. So that's how we got the name. But for the recording, our old drummer, his friend from college was in kind of a prog rock band, called Suspyra, S-U-S-P-Y-R-E, and their two guitarists kind of created this like shed as an extension to their house, and it's out in New Jersey, like totally the middle of nowhere, you know, like you have to drive to the nearest town to get to like a restaurant. It's kind of Silo County out there, and they have like a shed that they're they built this little home studio out of. And, you know, we've been asking around, and a lot of the people that reported my friend's band were charging these ridiculous rates, you know. But these guys agreed to do it for, like, a very, very low rate, and so long as we came out to New Jersey. And the rest is history. I mean, they were, like, it was interesting. I mean, they're a million times more technical than we are. I mean, they had like every instrument on the books. They made every instrument on the map. They made some of them themselves. They had things I've never seen before, like microtonal keyboards. And they were really nice. They, you know, they offered all these instruments to us, but we were just like, no, we're a meat and potatoes, you know.
So did the engineer like at least kind of help out on some of the
You mean the mixing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did all the mixing. Mixing takes the longest. I mean, the recording was really a breeze. It probably took two sessions per musician to get all the parts down. The mixing is the absolute hardest part, because you just start arguing about whether you want a wall of sound like a My Bloody Valentine thing, where just everything is, like, all the guitar parts are mixed left and right and kind of lead together, and just you get this sort of soundscape, or whether you want to make like one guitar in the left ear and another in the right. That, I said, was the biggest. It was really kind of a pleasure to record the album. We were all getting along really well, but like that might have been the biggest source of tension, just figuring out, you know, when to split the guitars and when to have it be kind of a wall of sound. And then, you know, you have you got one guy wanting one part to be louder and one guy wanting a part to be lower. kind of puts your egos on the line. But they definitely offered their advice a lot, I would say, and they did a good job of giving advice, but also kind of letting us
also, you know, command. Right. So you have something on MTV or MTV?
Yeah, and MTV2 is throwing this contest, and usually they throw these, you know, the contests they throw are kind of like, you could become the next Britney Spears, or you could become the next Dashboard Confessional, like learn to be like them, and I haven't really been interested in those, but this one is kind of more appealing to indie bands, and it's just, you just sort of put your profile up on their site, and then people vote, and if you get ranked in the, top 20, I guess, depending on how many people you get to go out and vote. You're a semi-finalist, and then you play in front of MTV2 judges, and then they pick five of the best. And then you play in front of, apparently, Dashboard, Confessional, and Panic at the Disco. And they pick their favorite, and then you get to like open for them at this huge venue. So that's the gist of the contest. We're up there right now. We're ranked like, I would say, just below the 20, which is pretty exciting.
That actually sounds like you might have a shot if enough people.
I know. It's really, really exciting. And, you know, hopefully people listening, you know, can check out.
Yeah, I'm actually going to vote for you right after this. But
oh, awesome. Thank you. But yeah, the website is www.addictedtonoise.com/profile/worst-case-Ontario. So that'll take you right to our page. You can hear what I think is our best song. It's the first track off Burning Politely, and then you can just click this button that says vote.
What's the song called?
The song's called You're Glib, which Tom Cruise fans should recognize. If you Google You're Glib in quotes, we're probably like our song comes up and we're maybe like the 325th link or something. Because, you know, it's this phrase that he's kind of set in stone, and I guess, you know, a lot of people blog about it. It's what he said to Matt Lauer when he was questioned for his views on
Scientology,
on this postpartum depression medication, the whole Scientology thing. So I just wanted to write a happy little song about it.
Now, I wanted to mention actually that there's actually a few bands like that kind of made it big through contests very similar to this. So it,
really,
yeah, there's a bunch of like UK bands that basically doing festivals and stuff because they won some kind of contest, and they never have thought that they would even had a chance. And you know, they, in fact, I think some of the bands have, like, their friends enter them in the contest without them knowing about it. they finally won.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a lot of great stories that come out of this. So I'm hoping you guys are going to be one of those stories.
Hi, this is Zach from 5AM, and you're listening to We Heart Music.
Beneath God's balcony, I look and wonder what's become of me, and the channel changes, and the moments come. I grab my whiskey and my coke and step out on the stage, and I wait and wait and wait for the light to shine down on me and say it isn't so. Say you won't let go.
Okay, so shortly after the Sony Walkman have dominated the portable music scene. We had anything from DAT tapes to mini discs that never really took off, and so the iPod came along and pretty much dominated the MP3 player, and they are still going strong. In fact, actually last Tuesday, Steve Jobs went on stage to announce a brand new line of iPod. So with me on the panel is Alex.
Hey, what's up?
And Brian.
Howdy.
And are you guys excited about this at all, or is it pretty much?
Well, I guess I'd say I'm excited about it because it pretty much ensures my job security for like the next, you know, however long for a while. I don't know. They are doing some pretty cool things with the technology these days that I think are pretty cool.
Just to let people know that Alex actually works for Apple, so he does mean it when he says job security.
Yeah, I'm actually a product specialist for the iPod.
Okay, so. Wow, it's product specialist. This is great because I'm going to have some questions for you.
Okay.
So first of all, we got a brand new iPod Nano, and have you taken a look at this thing, Brian?
I haven't, actually.
Okay, it's
from what I hear, it's like pretty sweet.
Well, it's totally elongated, and it's definitely not like the fat Nano, which basically nobody liked.
It's actually like the old Nano, but uglier.
You think the new one's uglier?
No, well, actually, I mean, all the shots, like all the screenshots and everything that like you see, like the pictures of them you see online, don't really do the thing justice. I mean, we actually got one in the office a few days after they came out, and it's pretty sweet.
It's pretty tiny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really it's more like about the size of the second generation Nanos. It's a little bit slimmer, and the shape is a little different because it's sort of contoured on both sides. But it's pretty much the same size. It's got like it has a bigger screen. It's more of like a. And if you tilt it to the side, it actually, so you can watch movies on them with the proper aspect, like, ratio.
Right, the widescreen. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're actually pretty cool, and they come in, like, a whole ton of colors.
Right, pretty much every color that you could want.
Yeah, except black. No, sorry, it's actually white. They come in, like, every color except white.
Right, except white. I mean, there is a black, but it looks kind of grayish. That's what I thought you had meant.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brian, you haven't seen any of the news, right? Or on iPods, the new iPods at all, right?
Pretty much everything I know about it, Alex has told me.
Okay. Well, I can tell you one thing that I will definitely get this Christmas, or at least maybe next week, is the iTouch, the new iTouch. Now, this is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And
those are pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I want this, because do you guys know anything about, like, netbooks or the term netbooks?
I don't, actually. I don't think I'm familiar with that.
Okay, they're basically stripped-down laptops, but instead of a full, you know, meaty laptop, they are made for...
Oh, like the MacBook Air?
Right. It's actually like the MacBook Air, except that... A lot of it's actually a lot cheaper than the MacBook Air, but they're pretty much designed to do web browsing, and so I actually wanted a netbook for a really long time because I travel a lot, and it's kind of nice to kind of tug along this little lightweight notebook.
But now
we have the iTouch, which could replace that. Well, I'll tell you one thing is when they dropped that price, it suddenly made it a lot more attractive for about, you know, $225. I could afford one.
Yeah, definitely. And you could even probably get one of the first generation ones refurbished on the Apple website for like $180, I think.
Yeah,
maybe less than that. I'm not really sure. I haven't looked it up.
Yeah, but I kind of want that volume control on the side.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Forgot about that, and that the new one has a built-in speaker.
Right. So you can play games with sound on, and I'm not expecting the audio on that thing to sound very good. But I mean, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's good for like casual listening.
Right. Just to try to bring Brian into this because it looks like.
Yeah. Just kind of sitting there.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, do you use iTunes at all, or what iPod do you have? Can I ask?
I actually have the generation just before they were the iPod Classic. It's an iPod Video, 30 gig. So
right.
Yeah, I don't use iTunes with it though because they don't make a Linux version.
Can I ask what you're using to transfer your music on Linux?
Yeah, I use Amarok. It's this little audio jukebox program. It's kind of like the bastard child of like Winamp and iTunes, and you know, therefore I like it a lot better than I like iTunes anyway. Yeah, it's just made for like KDE desktops and never given me any problems.
Right, it's probably a lot lighter than iTunes, because iTunes right now, I can tell you, it's a monster.
It's a bunch of crap on your computer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it requires about four, there's like three extra sort of peripheral like programs to run with it.
Yeah, that includes QuickTime and Mobile.
Yeah, and Apple and, mobile device yeah. support, and Apple software update.
You know what they have to do is kind of put out an iTunes that's just light, like iTunes Lite or something like that.
Yeah,
it doesn't have any
something
of that
really bare bones, like without the store interface or any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe they'll do that.
Have you played around with the Genius feature, Alex?
Unfortunately, I haven't. The thing is I actually sort of just got promoted and they're moving everything around the office, and like so I haven't had the chance to get my own iMac yet to use. But when I do, I know I'll probably check that out because I assume it's probably pretty cool. I do actually know quite a bit about sort of how it works and everything.
Yeah, I just haven't
got a chance to use it yet.
Yeah, can you give us a little hint without giving away too much trade secrets?
Oh, yeah, well, then, I mean, there's not too much of a trade secret, like, really with it. I mean, I don't really know too much, I guess, it could be considered a trade secret. But basically what it is, like, are you familiar with the website like Pandora?
Or yeah, some, yeah,
like Pandora
Last
or like Last.fm, yeah. How you can it'll sort of create sort of like music. It brings music with similar traits to it that you listen to. That's pretty much what the Genius feature does. The way it works is the first time you set up Genius, it can take about 20 minutes or so. And what it does, it goes through your library. It actually will go through your library, completely go through your library and check all the files that you have, and then it sends that information anonymously to the database, sort of like with the iTunes store. And then what it does from there is it goes ahead and it will create playlists for you based on stuff that you have that will go to get well together and things like that. And then another thing that it does too is it makes suggestions for stuff that you haven't already purchased, like this music that you don't already have on your computer. It'll make suggestions about things that you might like.
You know, some of the suggestions that they made is actually pretty good, but some of it I felt was
sometimes
kinda,
it can be a little
right. It was a little
like Pandora. You can only do so much with a program like that. You know.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, it's not totally going to be tailored for everyone. So.
Yeah. You know, it can only have, like, so much music, and, you know, you're probably not going to find that many good matches for, you know, that obscure hardcore record you just ripped, or, like, some Belgian techno remixes, or...
Right, it doesn't recognize a lot of some of the more obscure one that I have. And I want to say, mostly, I think the function exists as kind of, like, a way to kind of sell you more music. That's kind of my impression of it.
Yeah. Sort of. I mean, I could see that definitely too. And I don't know. It's probably. But it, I mean, they could probably. You know, it'll probably be nice, you know, for people who haven't heard too much music, you know, but yet they know that they like, or people who are just sort of getting into music, like getting into like a certain genre and things like that. It could help open them up to sort of more of what's in there. Like, you know, like a kid, you know, one of his buddies is like, man, you got to check this CD out, and he gives him a copy of, you know, Ramones, Leave Home, and he puts it in his computer. And he, you know, clicks on Genius. He's like, I want to know more stuff like this. And then, you know, then it's a few steps away, and he's listening to, like, Minor Threat and Black Flag and, you know, just some other stuff. You know, just sort of, I think it'll be really cool for, like, for people like that who aren't really, people who aren't, you know, sort of really into music yet.
Right,
to sort of help open up, like, a whole new world of stuff to them, you know.
No, I actually think it's kind of neat just to make a playlist, because it does it pretty instantaneously.
Yeah, it does. And it just creates playlists like based on songs that will go well together and things like that, which, I mean, I'm not really too sure how it knows that, but...
Let's go! We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Gershon Varoba, and you're listening to We Heart Music.
Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Bakol, Mikol, Kol, Kehimo, Shem, Isparchu, Aboseinu, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Bakol, Mikol, Kol, Kehimarech, Hosanu.
First we have on the line is Brody. Brody is a blogger for BritRockAtTheTop.com, and he goes to a lot of concerts in the Minneapolis area.
Hey, recently went to a few shows, Danny Warhol's, Telly's, Does It Offend You Yet, and probably my favorite of the week, Rah Rah Riot from New York.
And we also have on the line Dolly from MCAD.
Hi, I'm Dolly. I'm currently at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design right now, studying graphic design and kind of involved in all the arts and stuff as much as I can. And I haven't been to any shows lately, and I'm expected to go to at least 3 shows this fall in October.
You know what shows they are?
It's Stereo Lab, which I think is in October, and then Broken Social Scene. And then also at the end of September, The Wedding Present is playing on September 29th. Planning on going on that show.
Wow, Stereo Lab. That's a really good band there from France,
yeah.
Right?
I'm excited. I heard they had a new album out, but I haven't listened to it yet.
Maybe
they don't. I'm not sure.
I always feel like all their music sound kind of like the same, kind of, you know? It's kind of loungy.
It's loungy, but I heard the newer album is a little bit more poppy.
That's good.
It's my style, so.
Listening to Carolyn Smith, Noah the Whale, Jamie Lydell, name a few.
Tell me about the first one, B. Carolyn.
Oh, the first one? Carolyn Smith is from Detroit Lake. She's 20, blowing up here in Minneapolis. She's playing in Madison October 4th. She had a show at the Varsity that got canceled, but she opened for B.B. King when she was 17, a few shows, and she's definitely got the talent, the voice. Her drummer is the drummer in the band Cloud Cult, and her bass player is guitar player for Lucy Michelle and the Velvet Lapels. So she's kind of a cool little band going, too.
Is she kind of jazzy or soulful or bluesy? Like, I get this.
No, just kind of indie country alternative rock.
Because when I think of B.B. King, you know, I think of that genre of music.
Yeah, she just had some connections. Her mom was working in a production studio, and I guess they just met, and they got a few shows together.
Well, I've been listening to a lot of Bat for Lashes. I've been kind of behind with music, but I've been keeping up with them. If anything, I don't really read music magazines, so I kind of been coming across things on MySpace and such, and kind of hearing things on commercials and finding out what they are.
How did you pick up on Bat for Lashes?
Well, I heard them on the radio on The Current, and then I saw one of their videos of the lead singer biking for a...
Yeah, that's a really
cool video. That video's awesome with the bikers.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's,
that's what really got me into it, so I started like listening to them a lot more.
Did it feel like a little bit like Donnie Darko to you?
Yeah, it did, with the big rabbit hat, yeah. It was a really cool video. So
how do you like their last album, or I think they're their debut album.
Is it? Don't they only have one album out?
Yeah, debut. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I kind of put it on repeat for a good month or so, and I haven't really gotten tired of it yet.
And when he asked me, "Do you still love me?" I had to look away. I didn't want to tell him that my heart grows colder with each day. When you love so long.
Brody, I understand you're going to California for a week.
You got it. Yeah, checking out Vampire Weekend in L.A. and hopefully all the cool venues there. I'll just be at a tennis conference in Palm Springs for a few days before. But, yeah, really looking forward. I haven't really spent time in L.A., and I know the music scene there is pretty phenomenal.
Well, I can tell you that when you go to L.A., you have to go to a record store called Amoeba Records, because I spent, like, hours there, and Dolly should know, because they were... I think she was a little bit bored.
Yeah.
Is it better than the Fetus? The Electric Fetus?
Oh, yeah, tons better. Check out the clearance section, because you can just spend, like, 4 hours easily just in the, you know, the V section. Do you know how far you're going to go up north, or are you going to go south?
I have 3 days, so I'll pretty much, you know, kind of travel all around, check out as many places as I can, and I'll be with a friend on my last day, probably hanging out in Echo Park and a few other areas. Yeah, I just really look forward to L.A. and checking out Spaceland and the Troubadour and all those cool venues that I've kind of checked out online.
He walked down a busy street, staring solely at his feet, clutching pictures of past lovers at his side. Stood at the table where she sat and removed his hat in respect of her presence. Presents her with the pictures and says, "These are just ghosts that broke my heart before I met you. These are just ghosts that broke my heart before
so
I
Dolly,
met you."
I
say it. This is the last thing I need to say. Dolly needs to see Laura Marling and Johnny Flynn next Sunday in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's right. They're coming
the 400
here. Right? The 400 bar. Right.
September 21st. Write it down, Dolly.
Okay, wait. Wait, who is this?
Laura Marling. I flew all the way to New York to see her. And Johnny Flynn. They're both from England.
She's actually pretty young. She used to be in a band called Noah and the Well, and then she left the band to go solo. And so her solo stuff is pretty folky-ish. So you might actually really enjoy it, Dolly, actually. You know, singer/songwriter type.
I'll definitely check them out. Going back to the topic of the music that I've been listening to, I totally forgot about the Department of Eagles, which is Daniel Rawson of Grizzly Bear, and it's actually a side project, and I don't remember when their latest album was released, but I just found out, like, probably 2 weeks ago. But they formed in, like, 2001, and they've got a similar style as Grizzly Bear and then Mice Parade and then Caribou, but I think you guys should really check that out.
In the morning, come.
was here last night. It was like nine bands played in the basement, and like it just went off. It was so much fun. I'm
I got
so sore today from like the Marsha and stuff.
Like
yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Who was the big?
I was like swinging from the rafters in this basement and stuff. It's awesome.
Are they all local bands or anyone?
Yeah, it was all locals. It was actually a benefit for a guy from around here who was he was recently sentenced to like 5 days in jail and given like a $500 fine for repeated noise complaints. For having shows at his house for like he's been doing it there for years.